With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
No one likes them, but they don't care. They've got the bark and the bite, or should I say, roar. So come down to the den, if you dare. It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
Every single time you listen to it, it's Tahiti Mill on your Friday night, number one across the country. This is your Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport with your number one Millwall podcast for the whole of Iran. It's Achtung Millwall. Good evening, Nick. Nick Hart, all right, pal?
Greetings, pot pickers.
Yeah, you are. And Harry Warren.
I was trying to keep it together.
Back on nights.
Mom wants bungalow.
That's it. How's it going?
Yeah, not bad, mate. You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
How's things going, you know, Millwall wise? It's been a bit of a tough week.
Yeah, we're going down.
Apart from the fact that, you know, Millwall dishing out Husky chocolate last week.
I've never tasted it.
I weren't there. You were there.
I never went and partake in any Millwall catering free samples.
I'm like Grasshopper out of the old Kung Fu film of the 70s. I only have a little drop of water. That's all I ask.
And Bofferel.
We were born in the 90s. I was
reference that goes over the heads of
we won the night.
Everybody in this entire station at the moment, that reference has gone over the heads, but there'll be listeners out there know what I'm on about.
Anyway, it's time to look back at a poor week for the Lions. I thought Mill would beat Preston, but yeah.
Did you?
The worst thing is like inside about 20 minutes, Mill's social media was on like full blown like internal combustion. It was like one of them engines you put together.
Yeah. That's the second time you've seen Millwall go full Millwall on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's...
Harris says it is. Harry says, terrible first half. Terrible is one way to put it, and embarrassing. And it was. There's no way you can...
I don't know if it was
dress it up.
I thought they were... I've got to be honest, I thought they were fantastic. I've lumped on them to go up.
And Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to what
they're
level...
40-1.
This is a question that's unanswerable, perhaps, but to what amount is that us being all at sea, looking, you know, playing very poorly, and we allowed Preston to look like Lancashire's Barcelona? But second half, when we actually got it together and started getting at them, they didn't look half as good. So I think it was the Millwall incompetence.
I don't know. I think a 45-yard outside of the foot half volleyed pass, splitting your back four in any division's quite good.
They had Lionel Messi playing for them.
Well, 20
Alan Brown.
No, Maguire.
Oh yeah, fair.
Running behind all day long, you know, with that thing that Millwall seemed to, for a long period of time, have lacked pace, and they managed to sort stuff out.
So. Pace and just sheer lack of spirit, drive.
I don't think it's a lack of spirit. It's just a lack of quality. Oh, I think we're confusing people quality for skill. And for they're trying, but they're not good enough. That is generally that's
yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I mean, our squad lacks championship quality.
Je ne sais quoi.
And you know the first goal. I mean, listeners might not know, but I was actually being filmed by a Guardian Art House documentary filmmaker last week. So above the line of the bearded hipster cameraman that was a camera in mine. And Preston's striker seemed to have an eternity to take and turn.
Were
and shoot.
You swearing?
Goal. I did. Yeah, a bit.
As he swung his foot to volley it home, because I knew Archer weren't stopping it.
And there was no challenge. There was no. That's a goal there for Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds has just gone three up now. That was a terrible deflection.
Bit like that, really. Who's that? Bamford.
Yeah, terrible. That's the second of the game.
How is he still playing football? I mean, he went through like.
You would not say no to him.
18 months without scoring a goal.
Would you say no to him?
Well, not now that he's scoring, but for the 18 months that he wasn't, I would have said no. Look, Millwall can't even get a striker. When they're at the club, they can't even get him to be decent. And then they send him out and replace him with the BTEC version. And everyone seems to think he'll outscore him. I've talked about that before. I'm not going to mention his name.
It was sloppy defending. Sloppy defending for the first goal. Too much time given the striker to take turns shooting unchallenged into the net. Second goal, from memory, that was just a corner coming in, unchallenged header at the far post.
No, it was bottle job, wasn't it? Back post. Marshall bottle jobbed it with Lennon.
Yeah, so
they both shouted.
There we are. 2-0 down inside, not very long. And the third goal was, that was breakout defence, I think, wasn't it? And
that was the one, the 45-yard inside their own half. And I remember
chipping Archer, and that was
yeah, it was brilliant.
3-0, and then people were cussing,
people
calling
left.
The dozens, you know.
People just went back to the pub. It was a lovely, almost summer's day. I mean, the planet's dying, but it was a beautiful death. And they decided to go back to the Blue Anchor, and that was it.
Yeah, that was that.
I mean, following on from your TV, the new reality series they're making about you.
Love Island.
What's that? Is that what they're going to call?
No, that's a Brexit advert for moving your business to Ireland.
Exactly.
Love Ireland.
Over 55's version.
Exactly. I mean, the only way is Bermondsey, you know. You were spotted in a car park with a mysterious brunette. He's just like laughing, he's just nervous now.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I don't know about this. You've
seen the photo.
Oh, was it that one?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Move on.
Where to?
Where'd you go?
Where did you move on to?
Was it Harry's Bar?
Did you go to the venue? The
take her down Harry's Bar.
The Millwall Cafe.
Take her up Harry's Bar.
Oh, shit.
Sounds like a euphemism, that does.
Isn't there an advertising break looming soon, producer?
It is. But you've still got 56 seconds left.
So,
you take up Harry's Bar.
Dom thinks this every time Fulham try and play it out from the back. 56 seconds left, though.
Got 56 seconds left to half time.
Yeah. Oh dear, I've lost track of where we're at now. This mystery brunette, I'm trying to move the conversation on a little bit. No, it was an appalling first half display. Better second half.
Could be our midfield, couldn't it? We could have a cape of invisibility over all of them.
At times you've got to ask, in all seriousness, what midfield? Because I mean, they were absent without leave in that first half on Saturday, I felt.
Williams Leonard triangle.
Talent disappears, nothing comes back out.
One of them has to go.
Williams, for me, has not had a good season. It's been a very drab and dreary season. Disappointing, we were talking just off air before we came in the studio. A very disappointing season. And part of me can't wait for the cricket to start soon and just get this thing over and done with. You know, I know I've only got 12 games to go now.
I mean, everyone's looking over their shoulders just ever so slightly now. You've got Ipswich, Bolton, Rotherham, Reading. Reading have got a striker in Oliveira who can find the back of the net.
It's also they've got Scarface.
Well, yeah, exactly. Arsenal's going for Zorro. But yeah, they've suddenly worked out a way to stop conceding goals as well.
Shocking, that, isn't it?
It's handy. It's handy, though. It's
yeah, but Rotherham haven't won a game this calendar year. Neither have Brighton, by the way, so guarantee Brighton and Rotherham to win the week that Millwall
we
needs to
lose. We went through a little phase of working out how to keep the clean sheets. That seems to have gone out the window. It's been a very fragile defensive season. I find that quite frustrating.
The amount of injuries is shocking.
If we're talking defence, I mean, Sean Hutchinson's not playing anywhere near the level.
I think he's playing with a knock. I genuinely believe they are nursing him through to the end of the season for an op that we're not being told about. Because sometimes he looks, a bit like yourself. You get up, you've got aches and pains, and you don't fancy it,
It's choice, isn't it?
I'm only going by your bad back.
Oh, yeah, how is your Jimmy
back? Back's improved. Back's
so
improved,
right,
yeah.
It's an old cricket injury. He's actually...
Right.
Went to Eton.
Yeah.
You're right. I think Hutchinson's not playing 100%, but then that begs the question, why is Alex Pearce not coming in? I mean, he didn't start against Preston. Every time I've seen him, he's looked together to a level that Hutchinson doesn't this season. We've already spoken outside about Murray Wallace and,
injured
now, but a makeshift left side defender. So there's a kind of a sticky plaster feeling to the squad. Sounds a bit depressing when you say this. It's been, despite the FA Cup quarter final, I found it a very disappointing season.
But would you say that if we get an FA Cup semi final against Palace?
Well, I mean, as I said on the podcast, the only Millwall game, as I would define it, that I've been to all season has been the Everton game. So, if we get past Brighton and we get a semi-final against Crystal Palace, that'll be a right royal laugh.
Should we take a pause?
Yes.
Let's do it. This is Love Sport Radio with Acton Millwall, your number one Millwall podcast. Leagues 3, West Bromwich Albion 0 in the Championship. Let's look back at the midweek result, though. Mm. The Lions going down 2-1 to Hull City at the KCOM Stadium. No more games in hand for Millwall.
No.
Losing Murray Wallace to injury as well.
Yeah, I missed the last chunk. So I managed to eventually, via the Enigma code, cracked via Bletchley, managed to log on to iFollow in the end. And I actually saw a chunk of the first half, but not the critical opening goal. And I didn't see Murray Wallace's injury, but trying to stop the shot, I understand. I didn't see it.
It wasn't pretty. The first half was bad. Millwall came back out second half, first 15 minutes, and looked like they'd win the game. When we got the equaliser, I thought, this is it. We look more like ourselves.
I thought we'd press on from there, yeah.
But
good goal by Hull.
Fantastic goal by Hull.
That was a move down the right and a cross in, and did he take it on the volley, or was it?
From my footage, it sort of, sometimes the footage ain't great on these streaming services.
No, there's no replay on iFollow.
No, there's not. So he sort of seems to take it on the half volley from just inside the D on the edge of the box. So, if you score one of them, you're probably not going to get many of them in a season.
Not much you can do. But I thought we improved the second half. I thought we took the game to them and went close a couple of times. A couple of clearances off the line, I seem to remember. We're unlucky. I just worry that we're getting a lot of unlucky losses.
How many points do you reckon we need to be safe?
Someone online suggested 43 would be enough.
I was going to say 12, 46.
So, what are we on now? We're on 30,
34.
So,
you reckon 12 points?
12 points would be a good margin.
12 points of 12 games.
Okay, so there's who's the whipping boys that we've got to beat?
No.
Yeah, we won't beat them.
What?
We won't beat Rotherham.
The game that worries me is Bolton. Because I reckon, if this takeover cracks on...
Mm. It won't.
What, the takeover?
They won't. The reason it won't is every time they get taken over Bolton, they need another takeover to bail out the previous takeover. It must be the most unsound bank manager that ever goes, I've won the lottery, I'm thinking about buying Bolton.
I mean, the funny thing is obviously Eddie Davis, God rest his soul, gave him £187 million and that's the story of it. He gave him £187 million and he turned around one day and goes, I think I want my money back. I think I want my money back, I think I'm kind of done giving you money. And then they obviously emerged, or submerged, if you like, into these catastrophic financial issues. I just reckon if this takeover goes through, they're going to be quite pumped.
They've got a fair old margin to make up, though, Aaron. I mean, they're just looking at the table here.
But still, they're going to be up for it.
It doesn't matter about being up for it. When Mark Beavers is your top goal scorer, you've got problems.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, from the Millwall point of view, I mean, it's Reading and Rotherham that are...
Ipswich are done. Ipswich are done.
I would agree with
it. Anyone that we can go and nick in the summer from Ipswich who's any good?
No.
Freddie Sears?
He's just done his cruise ship.
They've only won.
Millwall like a cruise ship, needless.
They've won
over.
Three times all season, scored 19 goals, so they're not exactly over.
Not exactly prolific.
True. Not exactly prolific.
Actually, do you know who? Bielkowski, the goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper's better than ours.
Bielkowski's a good keeper. How they kept him in the summer,
You know, I really like the AFC Wimbledon goalkeeper. If we're this team, we know
Millwall. Ramsdale.
Is he on loan from someone?
The one who's on loan from Bournemouth.
Aaron Ramsdale. Yeah. He's a nutter. He's brilliant.
Yeah, so he's I'd like really to point good. This out to the Millwall recruitment team. Get him. I don't want another loan from Bolton. I want a loan from a Premier League side next
what
season.
What you need is, with Ramsdale, the reason he actually went to Wimbledon is because the goalkeeping coach is actually like a full-on crackpot. And in his interview, like, when he arrived at the club, he turned around and they go, oh, what brought you to Wimbledon? He goes, well, I heard the keeping coach was a lunatic. So I thought, yeah, I'm well up for that. Let's do it. And you see him, like, they're just screaming at each other.
Why does he sound like he'd suit Millwall? I'd quite like to see him sort of Denzel style, save a penalty, turn around to the crowd and go, yeah. Just get it.
We haven't had a goalkeeper like that in a long time.
I miss Denzel. Stack used to do that as well quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, 34 points, so a couple of wins, and we should be starting to look at safety decisively at that point.
Standardly, right, I think we'll beat... I don't know why. I just think we'll win tomorrow. I don't know why. It's a weird Millwall logic. So
Morrison has said that, and he said...
we'll beat them at Leeds.
Then that'll be the most Millwall performance.
I think we're going to beat Leeds at Leeds. They just have a thing with us, that they just have a mental capacity that they self-implode around us. They play badly against us. And there's no reason for them. I mean, we should go there and get beaten 4-0. But, or 5, or 6. We, you know. But, for some unknown reason, big teams seem to have this thing of not liking. Even when we go away, it's a weird thing. They drop to our level.
But, well, there is that. And also, I think we raise our game because it's the big occasion. I think, you know, the cliche of all of my Millwall life, we've always struggled against equivalent teams we should beat. We've always struggled to come to the plate for those. Give us a Leeds, give us an Everton at home, and players play twice as well as they do normally. They play out of their skin. So that's Millwall. That's why we love it, isn't it? It's the kind of bipolar,
schizophrenic
nature that we know and love. So I mean, I think Steve Morrison said that in an interview with News at Den, that it'd be the most Millwall result of all to rise to the occasion tomorrow and get a result out of the Norwich game. I think it's going to be a tough one, personally.
I didn't think they were much caught at Carrow Road. We went, didn't we?
We conceded four times, and but again, when we got ourselves into a winning position and then let that go, and that's happened a few times, you know, and that's been our downfall.
But on last season, we had one of those results at Leeds, and that spurred the run.
Yeah.
We got that side of the luck. Yeah. This side, we've got, you know, look at you lose Savile on the last day of the transfer window, in theory, for £8 million, or whatever they gave us in the end, £6 million or whatever. Bradshaw gets injured within sort of 7 minutes of his debut.
Yeah.
Then you lose McLaughlin for a long period of time. Yeah. Meredith's been injured for a long period of time. Williams was out, so we had Jeremy Carrican at 84, running around the midfield, you know, mixing cement with his hips that still just about move. You know, and And Thompson would have walked into the side then, but we couldn't call him back.
Yeah,
it's just every single time the management side. And I'm not trying to defend Neil. I do think Neil makes mistakes. I can't sit here and say I wasn't screaming for Ben Thompson to be on at half time last week. But look at Burnley. Burnley are us, right? They didn't sack Dyche when they got relegated. Even if we were to get relegated, you don't sack a manager that understands the club and's got a project going. You know, I generally think this is the worst season under Harris, and we're still not in the relegation zone.
I just, for me personally, the way I look at it, don't get me wrong, by all means you want Millwall to stay up, but I really want them to stay up even more this season, because League One this season is so difficult. Mm. It's such a tough league. You know, you look down the bottom, teams cut adrift, and everyone sort of got their own little struggles. It's not an easy league.
League One is always a tough league. I mean, I agree with this season, it's extra tough, but it's always a tough place to find. I mean, we know League One well enough. We've been there long enough, haven't we, in our time.
The Northern Premier Division is, it's like, no.
You know, trips, I remember going to places like Bury and...
Why is it always Bury? Northampton, Bury,
Gig Lane,
Northampton, and yeah,
Scunthorpe,
Rochdale. And these are tough
Tuesday
away
nights.
Fixtures. And they're tough, empty Tuesday night fixtures when Rochdale are you come to Millwall, and you know, you get a coach load of fans. So no one wants to go back to that. And I think the frustrating part for me for this season is that we have to be quite where we are. I don't think we'd be tearing up any trees in the league. I don't think we're quite, you know, sometimes some of the decision making, you know, we've spoken about errors of selecting a decent, half decent striker in the January window was what it was. We lack goals, and you know, we're kind of skidding along, hopefully, to survive to the end of the season.
You know, we sit here and we talk about every week and we go, you know what, if they can just survive to the end of the season, and the Millwall recruitment team, and I'm using, you know, air quotes, recruitment team, you know, if they're prepared and they have like a, you know, if they know what they're doing, then yeah, brilliant, yeah, cool, next, you know, season, it'll be great, and they'll recruit well in the summer. I don't trust them to do it.
You should. This was the first year out of the, what, you've been there 4 years, 5 years now? First year they've got it wrong?
I think this is, this, yeah.
One out of five ain't bad.
I'm telling you, they missed the trick on Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, but they missed a trick on loads of players. They missed a trick on Dak. They've come out and admitted they could have had Dak for 750 grand. Mm. You know, they could have had, and they chose not to pay that.
I mean,
but that's you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We've kept Marcus, you know, but
recruitment's only ever as good as, you know, you're as good as your last mistake, in a sense. So at the moment, it's not been a great season. You know, the errors of the recruitment team are there for everyone to see week in, week out.
I would be looking at Sheffield United and looking at, you know, the players that they've brought in, your transfer list, your freebies.
But look at the resources.
Hold on a minute, but there's a lot of players that they've brought in that are freebies, loans. They've really maxed out what they can use, and they're getting results with it.
True, but then you look at, you know, that's no guarantee. You ever look at Fulham, and I'll be totally honest, I didn't think they'd come back down. I thought the way they played their football when they got promoted, just because you play one season a certain style doesn't mean, you know, too much recruitment's a bad thing.
But Harry, the difference between Fulham and every other club is Fulham have a complete and utter imbecile running their transfers.
No, there's a lot
Look at Dom behind you. Look at Dom behind you.
But there's a
They've
lot
got a kid, an American kid going, hey, Pop, can I have 10 million? Hey,
there's loads of clubs like that. I mean, let's have a look at it, right? At what point during anyone's sound rational thinking down the road in East London did they think Sammy and Asri would be a good signing? Right, there's bad recruitment in every single
bad
side
recruitment, but this has been like really poor. At least with Fulham they had optimism at the start of the season. They thought, hey, we're going to finish mid-table. But that's just like a sport rich kid playing with a toy that his dad's given him, like, you know, hey, get out of my way. Do you know what I mean? You go to London, I'll stick in America, you look after this. And the kids messed up completely. They've learnt nothing from when they were last relegated. With Millwall, though, if you're on limited resources, you've got to ration them out properly. But you've got to ration them out with the right people. You've got to go and find the right players. There's a player that Bristol City picked up from Oxford, Callum O'Dowda. Quality. You can pick up those little bargains.
How much are you on a week?
I don't know.
But that's the problem.
I can't tell you that.
I'll tell you the reason that Gusted didn't come now. It's going to be a percentage of wages that we weren't willing to pay. Or he doesn't want to play.
Well, apparently
football.
That was the same as Matt Smith. I was told yesterday by the QPR guys that Millwall didn't want to pay his wages.
That's it. It's simple. Yeah, he's probably on 30
we're always going to be financially limited. It's the reality of the place. I just think that even despite all of that, you know, I just think at times we have not marshalled the resources we do have for the best, the finesse.
Let's be totally honest. As Berylson, I know he pumps a lot of money into the club to just keep us afloat, right? But surely there's got to be a day when you turn around and go, I've had enough of this. I'm not saying that you've spent 6 million quid that you've got out of the transfer and you've not reinvested it, and it's the first time that we probably should have backed a manager to invest it. I mean, we gave Holloway 8 million quid. I mean, come on.
I think John Berylson, you know, is an intriguing figure in his own right for many reasons, and his finance certainly keeps our club afloat, and for that I'm eternally grateful, because you've only got to look down SE7 and see the potentials that other clubs have to work with, and Oyston up in Blackpool and
Du
Châtelet, where his name is, at Charlton.
Roman Du Châtelet.
I'm just grateful that John Berylson exists.
Do you know what I say? Keep buying them bobbleheads, kids. Keep buying them bubbles. Club shop update is later on. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be an absolute cracker this week. 9:25, though, we'll go to the lines next. As always, the chat in the breaks is just lethal. Anyway, this is Love Sport Radio with your Millwall fan show. Matt has called up. All right, Matt?
Hello, boys. How you doing?
Evening, Matt. How you doing, mate?
All right?
Well, I'd love to share your enthusiasm for starters, but I've never... I don't know how to say it, but I think we are bang in trouble. And reason being is we have got to play five out of the top six teams in that league. And yes, we do up our game, but I just can't see it. And there's another, there's a few things that just got to me a little bit. And like it's funny, Nick, because you put this out on your Twitter page, like, who do you reckon is to blame? I think there's too many people to blame for this. We think about the recruitment. How about the scouting network? Now, the reason being is, let's go back to the Rotherham game at home, where we couldn't break them down. Neil's answer was, they were too big for us. Now, surely your scouting team would have said to Neil, they got big lumps at the back, let's play it on the floor and let's have speed against them. Because they were rubbish. Let's be honest, they were absolutely hopeless, but we still played our tactics. And I just think, when we play Derby, and we went one up with Jed behind, now, believe me, I think that is the best place for Jed Wallace to play. He's creative, he's dangerous. Central attacking midfielder is the best position for him, because you just don't know what he's going to do. And the proof was in the pudding against both Derby and Middlesbrough, respectively. Stick him on the right wing, in my opinion, it is a waste. I honestly do think it's a waste of a talent out there on the wing. He needs to be in more middle. But it wound me up so much on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, I think, or was it Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
We went 1-0 down, and yes, Wallace got injured, and it did look like a nasty injury, and hopefully he'll get better soon. But as soon as that happened, he reverted back to 4-4-2. We're chasing the game. And for me, I'm no football expert, and trust me, Championship manager, I was hopeless at as well. 4-4-2 for me is a dying age of a tactic. I mean, the only person I know that done it successfully was, well, I was going to say Mike Bassett, but even he didn't do it that well. But it's, I just think, why sudden sort of spur at the moment, oh, we need to go 4-4-2. We need to get Morrison.
Yeah, my question to that would be, what did you want him to do? I agree with you that we decided to make this change. You'd done it away at Ipswich, you'd done it away at Middlesbrough, you'd done it away against Derby, and it worked in those three games. You know, we picked up points, we didn't get beat. But the problem we've got now is Ferguson is your only left back at the club at the moment, because Meredith's injured. You know, on the right-hand side, you've got no Romeo, no McLaughlin, and we are very, very susceptible to pace. Now, I agree. The only other thing he could have done maybe is moved Marshall to right-back and brought Aidan O'Brien on, but for me, Aidan O'Brien's a waste of space and time, so I don't really need him. Fred's no better, and I don't understand why people call him for Fred. We seem to be treating Fred, and I did it last season. Well, last season, I was saying that I'd like to see him come back and have that. I'm done with him. I'm happy to go down. Oh, well, I'm not happy to go down, but I'd rather go down with players that seem to care than players who seem to... You know, Neil Harris isn't going to put out that he's being petulant if he's not being petulant. I know he didn't name Fred, but he's very got... Harris doesn't throw players under the bus that often, and when he does, it's probably with great reason. The fact of the matter is, there is something gone on this season that we may never know about until we have another player write a book. We're not going to...
Perhaps Arsenal came in for Fred, and, you know, Neil Harris thwarted his dreams. And
did they? Arsenal what? Arsenal what? Like, you know, a sort of spin-off team in Nigeria
Arsenal de Sarandi in Montevideo.
Yeah, that's it. Like, when you do Championship manager and find there's more than one team called Arsenal.
I don't know. Go on, Matt. Sorry,
go on. I was going to say, I know he's, but surely when Neil took over, you're telling me we've got nothing exciting in the 23s that could come in. Now, there was a good thing on Twitter. Like I say, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I like the odd every stat. They had a table of teams that had the number of minutes an under 23 player has played this season, and we were fifth bottom. The teams at the top were your Bristol Cities, Derby were up there as well. And you just think, well, do they have a worse youth or better youth network than we do? We were renowned to have a fantastic youth setup. Now, I'm not saying throw all the under 23s in, because that would just be crazy. But we have got some exciting young ones coming through, and one of them in particular for me is Harry Donovan. 100%, he's a very, very good player. But we've also got the likes of, to be fair, I'd have Mason Saunders-Henry in front of Tom Elliott, without a shadow of a doubt, because I don't know if you've seen any of the 23s, but they excite me. Lewis White excites me a lot, and is he still out on loan at all? Do we know?
I think all of them got sent back from their loans, including Donovan. Dagenham sent him back. They weren't with him.
Then there's a cry for Lewis White, in my opinion, without a shadow of a doubt. He's been around the first team, the squad. Maybe it's a chance for him to say, right, express yourself, if he hasn't got that faith in Fred. Because, I mean, I'm actually really going to go against what you said. I have got a little... I'm not a big, like, hey, it's Fred, cheery, like, let's have a masquerade ball about him. But there is still something about him that really, I feel, we can get the best out of him. And he's still only, what, 20? 21?
So 23.
Is he 23?
He's older than you think. Goodness.
He's getting on now.
He's a modern-day Cherno Samba.
Very quickly, pal. One word. What's
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So what's the score going to be tomorrow, pal? Because you've got to go for a break. This is Love Sport. It's 4-0 to Leeds, is it? 4-0 to Leeds United.
Can they fall apart again?
I'm not sure, mate.
Let's go to Adrian Forbes. He's going to give us an opposition view. Now, how are you, Adrian?
I'm not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, all good. Good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us this Friday night. Norwich City, I've been fortunate enough to be down at Carrow Road a few times this season. Wow. Buendia, Steeperman, Timu Puki, Tribals come through. They look like a proper unit.
They are, and I think it's a season so far where... I mean, let me go backwards a bit. I think if we look a year or so ago, we've had Norwich City going to play. What are Norwich City all about? And to be honest with you, probably a few fans calling for Daniel Farke's head. But now you look at the turnaround and, you know, you've mentioned a couple of players there that are performing to a really, really high standard at the moment. But you've got to add some of the younger players to that. Max Aaron's down the right-hand side. Jamal Lewis down the left. Ben Godfrey, who's playing centre-back, albeit he's, you know, predominantly a midfielder. The whole squad at the moment are performing to a really, really high standard. And, you know, despite Leeds winning at the moment, they probably deserve the league, Norwich, I would say.
I'd agree with that, Adrian. I'm just looking at the table as the football's playing out. I mean, Leeds currently top by 1 point, but Norwich will really fancy their chances, I'd imagine, tomorrow coming to the Den, especially with our form at the moment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing is with the Championship, you look at Millwall in recent weeks, you know, you play against Derby, real positive result. You've then got Preston at home and you're thinking, OK, can we build on that? And then, you know, you get a 3-1 loss. But also that same Preston team beat Norwich a week or so ago. quite comfortably, and then Norwich go and beat Bolton their way 3 days later. So the Championship is a random league, to be honest with you. But yeah, you'd look at tomorrow and you think Norwich should be, you know, quite positive going into the game.
Something I'm curious about, just, I know you're an ex-professional yourself, Adrian. I mean, we've got this cup run going on at the moment. How much of a distraction do you think that is for a team that's you know, we're not quite looking over our shoulder, but there's a kind of an itch behind us. We're 4 points clear, but it's not that much of a margin. Do you think the cup is a distraction, or can you really separate yourself from, you know, the potential of a semi-final appearance and kind of refocus on the bread and butter of the league? How do players find those situations?
I think it is a distraction without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. And I think you can look at the cup performances at this present time are not matching the league performances or vice versa. And I think it's a case of can the team and can Neil get the squad to almost, you know, get the same performances they're putting in the cup, which has got them such an amazing run, into the league performances, certainly in the business end, back end of the season. I think, you know, players will be looking at that and want to be part of that cup game, and you know, you'll be looking at them going, everyone want to stay fit for that game. And it's a welcome distraction because it brings, you know, the plaudits to the manager and the players that they ultimately do deserve. But, you know, you don't want to get to the end of the season and go, oh, it was a great run in the cup, but unfortunately being relegated to League One. That's definitely not what the club...
That's a very Millwall moment, if that happens.
It couldn't be any more Millwall if we tried. The only thing with Norwich is you do leak goals. I don't understand why, but you seem to... I mean, when we went to Carrow Road earlier in the season, I mean, it was the most... I mean, it was a... I still think it's offside, by the way. I'm not convinced. I'd even be neutral and go, it was way offside. But anyway, moving on from that slight point, what we really, really need. I think you're a good side. I mean, I watched you absolutely dismantle Ipswich, which tend to be your bogey side, really, when you play them. They seem to either one of you win or the other one gets destroyed, and that's the end of sort of the football conversation in East Anglia for a year.
True.
But you seem to hit teams on the break in a kind of Klopp-esque style of Liverpool early doors of...
Gegenpress.
Yeah, just sit there, and I don't know, it was almost, at Carrow Road, you were almost confused by the fact that you had all this time on the ball. Mill wouldn't let you Gegenpress us. You said, you can have it, we're quite happy, you've got to come and break us down. And I just think sometimes... that's where Norwich maybe might get found out in the Championship against the lesser sides because of the style of football they play, kind of thing.
I think we had a similar sort of situation last week against Bristol City, where they did sit back, in my opinion, sat quite deep, and, you know, we're almost waiting to say, well, come on, Norwich, can you break us down? And ultimately it led to Bristol City taking the lead, and then, you know, slowly Norwich got back into it, and then, you know, second half, the game became a little bit more expansive and we were able to pick the gaps and the right players getting in between the lines of the defence and the field, etc. And then we did pick them off with that counter-attacking style of play and the speed of play that Norwich City team do possess. So, you know, if you look back to that Millwall game, Norwich had to be really, really patient before they could get the opportunity to score the goals. But one thing you can say for this Norwich team is, within that patient style of play, when they do break teams down with someone like Timu Pukki in front of goal, you know, 9 times out of 10, the team have been ruthless with the goals they have scored.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose a neutral watching that game would have said it was a wonderful game of football as a Millwall fan. Yes. Obviously, it was heartbreaking or late loss, but there we are. It's been an interesting game tomorrow, because I think we've obviously not been... Norwich are, relatively speaking, a big club in the Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite a tight three-way race, actually, for the top two, just looking at the table. Sheffield United just tucked in behind Leeds and Norwich. So... you know, I believe I read somewhere, Adrian, 3,000 Norwich fans coming down. It's going to make for a great atmosphere on the day.
I think it could be a touch more, to be honest with you, really? from what I've heard up here. And I think, you know, the Norwich support is superb. I think, the last couple of games we've been just short of the capacity, 27,000, you know. So, you know, the fans are brilliant and they will back this team 100%. And throughout the years, even going back to when I played for the club, the away support has always been exceptional. And they will be in very, very good voice tomorrow. But I think we've also got to be mindful of the Den, when that place is rocking. they'll be behind the team tomorrow and looking to look at Norwich as a bit of a scalp and almost a confidence builder in that if they can get a positive result against a team that are right up in the top of the table, that could potentially be the catalyst to, you know, kickstart their league form. So Norwich are going to have to be mindful of that and wary of it. But I also do worry or wonder that, you know, if Norwich can get a couple of early goals, how will Millwall deal with that? How will the Millwall fans turn on that? And that could again make, you know, an interesting game like it was at Carrow Road earlier on in the season.
Adrian, I spoke to Daniel Farke, the Norwich manager, last week, and you know, just at the end of his interview off Mikey, we were talking about Millwall in the Den, and I said, you know, have you been before? He said, yeah. Don't remind me. What words of advice do you have for your gaffer?
Be thick-skinned. You've got to be thick-skinned. I'll tell you what, and I, even going back to when I played one of my first games, I can't necessarily remember who it was against, but I remember a goal going in. I think it might have been Gary Alexander that got the goal. But the noise, the crescendo of noise that lifted that place when that goal went in, I was like, you know, wow. And I was fortunate enough that I'd played in some big games, you know, prior to coming to the Den. But, you know, those Millwall fans are going to need to be counted tomorrow. You see the old cliche of the 12th man, et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to need it to get behind the team. And you've got to look at it. If the manager of Norwich is thinking that, you know, the players are going to be there.
Yeah.
But the manager of Norwich, Daniel, will be getting his players to put in a performance that will silence that Den crowd. You know, I think it's got the makings of being a really, really interesting game for both sets of fans and both sets of players. And two teams that need to win the games for vital reasons, to be honest with you. One to stave off that threat of relegation and one to continue to cement the opportunity for possible promotion.
You down tomorrow, Adrian?
I'm not, unfortunately, going tomorrow. No, I'm not. I will be watching my 18-year-old playing, but I don't know if I'll be welcome back at the Den anyway now tomorrow as a Norwich employee.
You'd be welcome after 5 o'clock if we win.
There you go. Adrian, you're a gentleman, mate. Thank you very much for joining us once again. Top stuff once again. Adrian Forbes there. He's a coach, former Millwall man.
He did,
and a coach and stadium announcer now.
He played back in the league, didn't he? Gary Alexander, you mentioned there. So you're going back to 2008, 2009-ish, I suppose.
I'll tell you what.
We spoke to him before the Norwich away.
We did,
didn't
we? We did. Yeah, Speaking to Farke, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
4-0 it was.
No, when they played Ipswich, I asked him how he described the atmosphere. He goes, yeah, this is very spicy, yeah. I'll tell you something, mate. You're going to have a vindaloo on your hands tomorrow, bro. Back door, Bombay doors, mate. Bombay doors. At 9:45, we're back with your Club Shop update.
See, Oliver, in this life, one thing counts in the bank.
Large amounts. I'm afraid these don't grow on trees. You got to pick a pocket or two. You got to pick a pocket or two, boys.
You got to pick a pocket or two.
Oh, what a good theme tune that is, the Club Shop update.
It's perfect, I told you.
Haven't we got enough FA inquiries going on there with that stereotyped Jewish portrayal of Ron Moody there?
No. Anyway.
Moving on, my precious.
Harry, let's have a nice little bed behind it, Harry.
It's a Club Shop update.
What do you want to start off with, the old Club Shop update? Young Mickey Avery's not in the building. I heard he's doing it. He's doing an audit for him tonight.
He's gone there with Brandon Pragnell's Pringles and Lucas Ball's Ball to find out where the bargains are.
Exactly. He's gone bargain hunting. He is the David Dickinson. South Bermondsey.
But it's a different type of hammer used to get bargains in Bermondsey.
What you want is, yeah, you want that nice good one from
Clawhammer.
Clawhammer. Bolster.
Ask Ben May about the Clawhammers in B&Q.
What you want is a bolster, mate. Anyway, Harry, start us off.
Right, so we've got the Millwall Large Crest staff. Don't want one of the good ones that has fella outside the grand sales with the dodgy trolley wheel.
Is he the one who's tucks in the corner?
Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah.
At scarves or badges. That one. Yeah. Want to have the same facial expression as Ben Thompson, who is evidently delighted at the fact he had to model a warm scarf when the photo was taken in pre-season heat? Well, no, look no further than the Millwall Club shop at a price of £15. No summer reduction in the warmest February since records began. You can feel warm and snug even when we get relegated to League One at the end of the Championship
it's
season.
Quite quite a good idea for a scarf because it joins together and creates like the logo, which is
I think bloody ugly personally.
Nick, what you got for us this week?
What we've got here, listeners, we've got a Millwall 2018-19 junior players raincoat. Spring is here, and along with the raindrops that are falling, so are the prices.
Wait.
But never fear.
So are Millwall down the table.
Never fear, as your little one can stay nice and dry under the dripping roof of the Docker stand. With a massive 35.71% reduction.
How much?
35.71, that might not be accurate. Price reduction and a price decrease of £45 down from 70. Where else would you rather be but the Millwall Club shop? Note, item not currently in stock. By the time it is, your child will have grown out of it.
Fair play. Do you know what I fancy, though? Is a Millwall black camo flake hoodie, and I'm thinking camouflage.
Is that patent pending?
It's like wood chip
camouflage, but better.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of picking one up tomorrow. But if you need something to go paintball in, if you need an item that will blend in nicely with the camouflage cup you recently purchased, and do you not care that they let a 4-year-old to do the spell check on
they've posted this on the website.
If the answers to any of these are yes, then look no further than the Millwall black camouflage hoodie. Yes, listeners, those red lines on Microsoft Word aren't misleading you. Dear. This is spelt wrong in the club shop, but with 33.33% off. And guess how much, Nick? Guess how much?
What, for a camouflage? Oh, it's got to be at least 50 quid.
30 quid?
How much? That much?
How much? What more can you want? With the only size in stock at 3XL and all other sizes with a 7-day lead time, maybe this could be a present for the darts playing woman in your life.
An oversized shirt was available at an earlier club shop update. But funny enough, you should mention that. When we've discussed the Pick a Pocket Oz 2 intro to club shop update, they meant the Macron sticker. You have to pick the Macron off or leave it all on because it comes off of the camouflage hoodie.
Does it? Fair play. We got anything else?
No, nothing else to add in the club shop.
Nothing else. I heard there was a T-shirt lying around, but I'm not sure if that's available anymore.
No, what happened was that the Bellinia teddy and the Zampa teddy, the 10-inch Zampas,
yeah,
and the 10-inch Bellinas, have all disappeared.
Oh, right. Well, I can't really.
We've got a few.
They did see a three-wheel robber reliant van leaving right, the area.
Exactly.
There's a story that Morrison's being bombarded with Norwich City texts. Millwall's Morrow, I'm talking about.
Right, okay.
He's getting bombarded with hate texts from Norwich fans. We've got a few here. Do you want to hear?
Yeah, go on.
Apparently, I mean, I've been in touch with Steve and he's passed these on. He's very upset by some of it. There's one here from someone called Delia, and she says, Steve
Morrison. Let's be having you.
Steve Morrison is beautiful. He can bake his French loaf in my oven any day.
This is the weirdest hour of radio.
Do you know what? Delia Smith once invented a kebab. Anyway, carry on.
There's another one here.
Did she invent
a kebab? Not a kebab.
There's another one. This one's even worse.
In a can.
Is that like the chicken in the can?
No. You use the can as a mould and you cook it in the oven, and then she had like a little blowtorch and she was cooking the outside of it. Seriously, it's on YouTube.
Dom, is he winding me up?
Delia's Donna in a can. Anyway, carry on.
Steve Theatrical says, dear boy, what a handsome young man Morrison really is. He can play in my Hamlet. Play with my Hamlet any day.
Oh.
Play with my Hamlet.
I hope he's talking about cigars.
A Freudian slip.
And then finally, Bernard Matthews, turkey clucker, says Steve Morrison can spit roast my turkey any time he likes.
Arr, lovely, lovely.
Why did we go Ian Holloway by the end of that?
I don't know.
I've only got a limited range of accents. I've exhausted them all.
Very quickly, on some nicer news, we had some really positive news today, pal.
Yeah, we did. Those who follow the club and the Twitter and all the rest of it will have seen this story that's been going on for a year and a half, I think, now.
Yeah, about that.
Isla Caton, the little girl from well-known West Ham family, and the poor little thing's been suffering with a condition called neuroblastoma, which is a kind of a rare form of, I believe it's like a blood cancer or something of that kind. And she's been in treatment, been a lot of fundraising going on. I was involved in a walk from the West Ham training ground to London Stadium last year. A number of Mill friends done huge amounts. Tony Monday, friend of mine now, did a marathon, half marathon in Brentwood.
Yeah.
raised
huge, West Ham
raised huge sums. Yeah, huge sums. I think Jamie Pryor, if memory serves, he did a, and I know Michael did something as well, running a marathons and whatnot. But no, great news. I mean, it was a really nice message when you log on in the morning and you see something, just good news. Don't get much good news in this life.
It's nice to wake up to this morning.
Yeah. So the news being that Isla Caton, little girl, free of cancer. She's been in treatment in Barcelona, a clinic in Spain. And she's been diagnosed free of cancer. And that's probably the best news, I think, that we can all, you know, have wished for. And I just want to say well done to Isla, because it's no easy treatment. And she's been through the mill, the poor little thing. And her family would have been through it too. So that's fantastic news. It's been primarily a West Ham story, but Millwall have certainly made a major contribution to the money that's got to this stage.
Yeah, true. We also can mention that the Wonderwall Cup is happening again, and the tickets went on sale today.
Yeah, the Wonderwall Cup is Mickey's Mickey Simpson. It's one of his initiatives, and it's a great initiative. It's a charity. I think last year's one was in aid of victims of the Manchester attacks.
Yeah, Manchester and the London Bridge
and the London
attack.
Bridge attacks, and this year's also got another a charity match at the Den at the end of the season. There's a poster on Zampa Road with the Cherno Sambas playing, the star of Championship Manager of years gone by.
The F2 boys who are on Soccer AM.
I haven't
heard
of the F2 boys.
They done a brilliant video with Tim Cahill last season, recreating his goal, not realising that he was right-footed, so they actually understood that the left-foot volley in the World Cup was actually a better goal than what they thought.
So another man-like has, is it?
Steve O, the madman's back again. Mark Bertram, former Millwall player.
Mark Bertram, remember it.
Alex Ray.
Know.
Yeah. I think you should get a call up, Nick.
Nick's bad back. I think you should go in goal. The amount of times that we've slagged off Jordan Archer, one of us should end up in nets.
Either that or you should be the physio.
Oh, we had a physio once under Lomas who was so big they had to buy extra trousers for him because he was massive.
They called him the fitness coach, they called him the fitness coach.
So simple, but so...
Pressman took him after him.
No. He made Kevin Pressman look like he'd been on Slim Fast.
Fair play.
So there's social influencer Bradley Simmons. I'm hoping some of these names mean something to listeners. Love Island 2018 contestant Jack Fowler and comedian Man Like Hacks and Verus Millwall person, including Alex Ray, and it's a great chat.
Gary Alexander.
Do you know what we should do for one of these games? We should offer to do like a proper acting Millwall commentary.
We could do that.
Be quite fun, wouldn't it?
It's £3 a ticket, and it deserves support, and it's a great cause. So, Wonderwall Cup coming at the end of the season.
We are off ski for another week. Thank you very much for having us once again. It's the London Football Fan Shares on Love Sport Radio. Oh, tomorrow, what do you reckon?
2-2.
I'll take 1-1.
3-2 Millwall game.
Oh, I'd like your optimism.
3-2 Millwall. And we're having our sort of Acton Millwall Christmas deal, aren't we, tomorrow?
Yeah, a bit late.
Pie mash in Greenwich.
And then I was going to say it's a secret location for drinks.
Well, no, we can move on from that to the secret location. We have to go. We have to go amongst the people.
Yeah,
my bar.
Yeah, come up to Aries Bar.
Aries Bar.
Say hello to us.
Come with
Nick will be the one with egg danisher. Have a good one. This is Love Sport.
Love Sport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.